This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to today's ILTA podcast recording entitled, What Does the Future Hold? Do distributed law firms offer the law firm model of the future? I'm your moderator, Mike Gertel, practice innovation and knowledge attorney at Paul Hastings. I'm excited to be joined by two accomplished speakers today, Dan Packel, business of law reporter at ALM Media, LLC, and TJ Doval, managing partner at Fisher Broyles, LLP. Welcome, Dan and TJ, and thank you for joining us. Let me start with a quick question for TJ. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in the distributed law space.
So my background is patent law, mechanical engineering. I worked at a traditional brick and mortar firm for several years. We were a small regional boutique practice that got kind of gobbled up by an Am Law 200 firm. And, you know, honestly, I just wasn't really interested in being at a big, big firm. Didn't like the red tape. I didn't like the layers of management. So I was very good friends with James Fisher and Kevin Broyles, who had started this revolutionary new firm. At the time, it was in its infancy back in 2009. I think the firm had started in 2000. So they convinced me to give it a shot, you know, get rid of the walls and, you know, see what I can do in a distributed, and at the time we called it a cloud-based firm. So that's kind of how it got started.
Thank you. Dan, same question. Tell us a little bit about yourself and describe your involvement in the distributed law space.
Sure thing. I've been a reporter over at ALM and the American Lawyer for almost 4 years now, and one of my beats is innovation. And that's less on the side of the nitty-gritty of legal tech and more about how law firms are approaching new strategies for organizing their businesses and serving clients. And I found that distributed firms, the phenomenon is one of the more compelling examples of firms approaching a new way of operating and doing business. And so it's attracted my attention over the last few years. And I've been able to watch a handful of these firms grow even more, particularly during the pandemic.
So you've been involved for the last few years. Can you give us some history regarding distributed law firms, you know, what they are, their structure, you know, maybe how they've come to be or they've evolved, especially during the pandemic, Dan?
Sure. I mean, you see and hear a number of terms bandied about here: distributed firms, virtual firms, cloud-based firms. The defining characteristic here is that they are not tied to brick and mortar offices in the same way that traditional law firms. And these firms really started popping up at the beginning of the 21st century. Fisher Broyles, they claim to be the oldest distributed firm, I think it's 2000, 2002, somewhere around there. And then in stuff such as subsequent years, more firms have popped up. And they have really started to mushroom as technology has simply allowed for people to work away from a traditional law office.
It's interesting. For either of you, what areas of law do distributed firms commonly practice? Are they limited in any way? And also, are their clients different than typical clients at other firms? If so, how? If not, why do you think not?
I can start with that. You know, as far as practice areas, we are a general practice firm. We're heavy on intellectual property. I think that's kind of a natural fit for distributed law firms. But we do litigation. You know, we do corporate law. I don't think there's much we don't. We don't do family law, but that's common of large firms. From as far as clients go, I don't think there's any particular type of client that leans toward a distributed firm as opposed to a traditional firm. I will say back in, you know, the early 2000s, it was difficult to get the general counsels of some of the larger companies to get their head around us not working at an office. I think that stigma is gone now, at least for the most part. So we represent, you know, Fortune 100 companies. We represent mid-sized companies. We represent individuals. I don't think it really matters.
Yep. From my perspective, you will see these firms with clients from tech startups to major financial institutions to Fortune 100 companies operating in all sorts of practice, but all the primary practice areas you'll see in traditional law firms doing corporate work, litigation, some amount of labor employment work, intellectual property, really across the board. And while these firms aren't necessarily getting the top of the market, but the company litigation and the most sophisticated deals, I do see them competing with, even out competing in the second half of the ML 100 and the second 100 on rates, because they simply by not having that same amount of overhead that traditional firms have, they allow lawyers to present a real appealing cost perspective to clients. There's one area that you do not see these firms operating in quite as much, or one type of work that you don't see these firms operating in quite as much. And that's because of the particular leverage model at distributed firms. Most of these firms are primarily or almost or entirely equity partners. They, by virtue of not having an office, they don't need to worry about having squads of associates to worry about having to train and supervise. But that sort of, that invalidates certain being effective at certain practices that rely on a lot of associates billing many hours at low rates, say insurance defense or labor employment work with a client with locations, say, spread around the country.
TJ, do you have anything to add to that?
You know, I think in general, he's probably pretty accurate with that. Although we do a lot of insurance defense work, we're fortunate that because of the low overhead, we can offer rates very similar to some of the large firms with their, you know, fourth and fifth year associates. And we can give a partner with much more experience in the law so that they can be more efficient. You know, we really try to align the interests of the firm with the interests of the client. And, you know, we've done quite a bit of employment work. We do mostly employer side work. And then we do a lot of insurance defense work.
TJ, following up on that, give us a description of the type of lawyer, you know, that you see being interested in a distributed firm like yours. And, you know, maybe add to that, what type of lawyers would thrive in your environment versus, say, a standard, quote unquote, big law environment?
You know, honestly, I don't think we're very different than any other profile of attorney, except that you have to be self-motivated. We don't call you and say, hey, are you getting your hours in? Or, hey, are you going to be at your office at 9 a.m.? We allow you to run your own practice. And with that comes a responsibility. So you have to be able to say, hey, I'm going to work from this time to this time. And, you know, my clients expect this out of me and I'm going to give that to them. But the good thing about that is you do run your own practice. And if your son or daughter has an event in the afternoon and you want to take an hour off, there's nobody telling you that you can't do that. As long as your clients are happy, you're in good communication with both the client and the firm, you pretty much run your own, not just run your own practice, but run your own schedule.
Interesting. So along those lines, TJ, as far as technology infrastructure for Fisher Broyles, you know, is it any, would you consider it different than other firms that are not distributed? And how do you license in your technology? Who is the person at the firm who handles that process?
Well, we have an IT group, but honestly, I haven't been at a traditional firm in 13 years. So things have changed in both worlds. We, you know, most of our stuff is web-based. We do have, you know, traditional accounting software that you can log our time in. We use a document management system that is web-based and very secure. We have Office 365. I'm sure most big firms use the same. So we have to balance, you know, we want to make it as secure as possible because we have banking clients and we have, you know, Fortune 500, Fortune 100 clients that make sure that we adhere to the standards of the industry. But we also have to make it usable for the attorneys. You know, we have dedicated computers. You know, I don't think it's that much different than what we use at a regular office.
Okay, thank you. Dan, do distributed firms employ legal technologists or operations specialists or knowledge professionals in your experience covering them, or are they usually outsourced?
You'll see different models in different firms. And I did some fresh reporting on this a couple of weeks ago in preparation for this podcast. But for example, one major distributed firm, Culhane Meadows, their founding partner is the CTO, or one of their founding partners is the CTO. She makes the top level decisions and then relies on a couple of consulting firms for the day to day. And issues come up and keeping systems up and running. Some other firms have technologists on staff who are entrusted with identifying new opportunities. In other places, you'll see firms employing several in-house folks to troubleshoot issues and then turning to consultants when they're looking to, say, upgrade systems or they found a new need that they want to address. And you'll also see some of these firms, there's the expectation of learning about technology from new laterals. One firm, Ramon, they say they view people they bring aboard as innovation officers, and they are looking to learn from them about the best practices that they can learn from other previous firms.
That's interesting. TJ, do you have anything to add?
No, I mean, in general, we outsource a lot of our IT. We don't really want to burden the attorneys with it. Now, although we do ask for suggestions, we want to make sure that things are usable and efficient for our attorneys, but we definitely leave the technology to the people who know it.
Absolutely. TJ, when we spoke previously, you talked about process and culture being, you know, part of the keys to the success at Fisher Broyles, and I found that very interesting. Can you tell us more about that?
We really, you know, because we're not seeing each other every day, we have to make sure that we are good communicators. So, you know, we have a lot of, you know, we had a lot of Zoom calls. We have a lot of department meetings over Zoom. We get together several times a year in person. And we really try to make sure that the people that we work with get along. You know, we like the fact that when we get together, we laugh and we have fun. But we are, you know, we're collegial and we work together very well. So it's funny because we just had a meeting in Puerto Rico in November, and it's our annual, just a networking meeting. It's not a business meeting. It's just where we get together as a firm and network with each other and tell each other about our practices. And you'd be amazed at just how much fun some attorneys can have when we get together. It's important to us that we not only have good attorneys, but we have good people. And, you know, you can tell that fairly quickly when you're having conversations, you know, because we have when we hire someone, when we bring someone on as a partner, it's a fairly rigorous interview schedule. You know, we don't just meet them once and look at their profile and bring them on. We actually have several conversations with them, and then we have several of our attorneys and managers speak with them to make sure that they are a fit, not only practice-wise, but culturally.
So personality goes a long way, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to work with someone for a long time, you want to get along. It doesn't have to be an onerous thing to work with someone. So we really press that.
And obviously there's something there at Fisher Broyles because you are the first distributed firm to enter the Am Law 200, and your financials have been very impressive. So do you feel that this is an indicator that this is a viable model for others in the long term, or how do you see the future?
Well, I do. You know, I think it's going to be difficult for traditional firms to transition that way because they still can't get the mindset of, oh, we need all this overhead. Other firms, like some of the ones you mentioned, they will continue to grow. You know, it's not an overnight thing. We've been doing this for a long time. It takes a long time to find the right people, to have the right culture that is, you know, put together by the founder. You got to have the right vision. You know, you've got to say, okay, this is the kind of firm that I want to have. And you can't just add people to add people. You know, you don't want to just grow for the sake of growing. And there's going to be growing pains, and that happens to all firms. But like, I think it is the wave of the future, but I don't think it's an overnight thing.
Dan, how about you? Do you have anything to add?
We haven't yet started asking other distributed firms to share their financials with us, and most of them have yet to volunteer it because these firms are not quite on the cusp of being eligible for the AMLO 200. But these firms are all, my sense is that these firms are all growing, adding. I mean, so much of this is through revenue growth, through added headcount over the last couple of years. Potomac Law, whose leaders are based around Washington, D.C., they did volunteer to me that they grew revenue 42% in 2021 compared to the previous year. And I think you will see, if you have access to the numbers of these other firms, you will see comparable numbers.
So Dan, what do you think the horizon looks like for distributed firms?
I think there's plenty more opportunity for growth. I think they will continue to attract more personnel, particularly as traditional firms expect their lawyers to return to the office more regularly. While many will be happy to do so and comfortable with this, and many firms will be, many traditional firms will be accommodating of the need for flexible schedules, I think other attorneys will find themselves wanting an even greater degree of flexibility. And others will simply recognize the fact that they don't need the same structure surrounding them, and will be happy to embrace some of the fact that they can ultimately put more money into their pockets in the end of the day by having less of their fees go to the firm's overhead.
And Dan, the term distributed firm versus remote or another descriptor, is that really the industry terminology now for firms that are fully, that have no offices?
I find that they are all interchangeable. Certain firms like to brand themselves in different ways, but I think they all convey the same meaning.
Okay. And TJ, same questions for you. One, the horizon for distributed firms, and two, the term distributed versus other terms.
Yeah, I mean, I think the horizon, I think we will continue to grow. I think other firms will continue to grow. In the long term, it'll be interesting to see what happens with training of attorneys. I think at some point we may go to some sort of different training style as opposed to, you know, paying first year associates $150,000, $160,000, $170,000 a year. But that remains to be seen. You know, I don't know how that's gonna flesh out in the future. As far as the terminology, I agree. It's pretty much interchangeable, cloud-based, distributed. I think most of us stick away from virtual just because, you know, that connotes that we're not real. And I can assure you that we are.
Okay. Well, Dan and TJ, thank you once again for your time. And thank you for your insight and answering our questions. And thank you to the ILTA audience who will be tuning in shortly. And to everyone, have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.